guys, welcome to our podcast, Heist and Slice, the true crime podcast. Well, 1 week we talk about a heist, and the next we talk about a slice. So let's get on to round two of episode 16.
Sure.
Right?
Is it 16? It's 16.
Yes. So.
That's Shelby.
Oh, fudge.
I'm Nora.
I am Shelby, and that is Nora.
We're here to bring you
joy
and enlightenment.
Yes, enlightenment of joy
and death.
And oh, that's right. It's a slice.
A slice. People die in heist too. Damn it.
They do.
You
but that's not the
that.
Goal. I mean, well, it's not the goal in slice either. But all right.
Yes, it is most times. Anyway,
just,
we'll get into
let's
the
just keep
story.
Going.
So this is the second time we record this. So
yeah, it was rough the first time.
Excuse us if we're not too authentic, but we'll try. A little.
Yay!
So, still don't know how to say this guy's name.
Jocka?
Jocka.
Jocka.
But he goes by Jack. Jack Mosler was a millionaire who owned a chain of banks and financial investments from Florida all the way to Texas.
Florida to Texas. Woo woo.
Hey, I feel like that should be a country song. Florida to Texas.
I got a fart. Shit.
We're going to leave that in there too, shall we?
Oops.
He was married and then divorced and fathered four children from his first marriage.
Four kiddos. Got it.
He then married Candace, or Candy for short, who is a socialite.
Socialite. So, stripper?
But, no. Why do you do that to me? It's not stripper. She's just well-liked in the media.
By men? Women?
Probably by men. She is really nice looking. Anyway.
You got a picture?
Yeah. We'll post it on our Instagram.
Oh, snap.
Candy grew up dirt poor in Georgia, but made her way to New Orleans, where the couple met. Candy was a bleach blonde bombshell.
Yeah, she was.
Who never revealed her true age.
Who does?
Me? 29. Or 28. Don't even know my own age.
I'm 21.
That was a lie.
Is it?
Yes. I know for sure. But it was well known that Candy was about 20 years younger than Jack. The two married in 1949.
Ooh.
Jack and Candy moved into a 28-bedroom home and lived a very lavish lifestyle. That's right, 28 bedrooms.
Jesus Christ.
What I want
to
know is,
I hate to clean those.
Well, what I want to know is, well, they're rich, so I'm sure they don't clean those. What I want to know is, what's all in them rooms?
I bet one room is like
a candy room.
Porn room?
Okay, that went two different
ways. And then one is like
games.
Games? You think games? Board games?
No. Like pinball games?
Oh, did they have those back then?
I don't know. When did the first pinball come out?
I don't know, but California wasn't a thing back then.
Yes, it was! Every podcast. Shelby, when was California made? When was it established?
On my birthday!
140 years before Shelby was born.
Or 180 years before I was born. I'm 21.
No! Anyway.
Oh, it's like, Jesus. Oh, okay. And I bet one room was for...
Do not do
pies.
It. Pies.
Because who doesn't like pies?
One was a safe room.
Oh, panic room.
Yeah.
You think they had a zoo or a monkey?
No. But they did live a very lavish lifestyle, so. Now, Jack was a huge family man, and Candy was known for loving the finer things in life.
Yeah, she did.
Jack was raised by a widowed mother who supported her family by herself and Jack. And Jack fell into that same role. He worked a lot and enjoyed doing so. So he made his millions by his very own two hands. He wasn't born into it. He just made it so, basically. The two often traveled between their home in Texas and their vacation home in Florida.
Ooh,
about 8 or 9.
Drive.
Right? Maybe they probably flew. Anyway.
Did they have those back then?
Yes.
I hate the timeline of things.
About 8 to 9 years into their marriage, Jack was watching TV and saw a story of a man who killed his pregnant wife and loaded his four children into their car, drove it into a snowy embankment, but they did not die. Police soon caught up with the man, arrested him, and Jack was like, oh, those poor kids, they're orphans now. I'm going to adopt them.
So he has eight.
He has eight children, and him and Candy have the four adopted. He has eight children altogether.
So now he just needs 19 more to fill all the rooms.
Okay.
Because one's a pie room.
Okay. So, Candy actually has this nephew that is going to move in with them. The reason being...
Plot fucking...
Yes, his name is...
They gonna put him in the pie room?
Maybe. I mean, he likes his pie.
Yeah, he does.
Anyway.
He likes candy pie.
How does this happen?
Just keep going!
Okay. So, Melvin is from Alabama, and he actually gets into
Alabama!
He actually, yes, Roll Tide Roll. That was your team back in the day, wasn't it?
Oh, only because of an elephant.
Oh, anyway. So, Melvin gets in trouble while he's in Alabama, and he actually serves 90 days in jail after he's, I don't remember. I don't know.
Did you put it in your notes?
Nope. Well, I'm missing a card, so I'm going off memory.
Did you lose it here?
No, I think I left it at work.
Okay, so you can't blame it on the cats.
Nope. While on probation, he decides that he should move to Houston. His mother recommends this, that Melvin moves in with her sister / his aunt, Candy, to keep himself out of trouble. So Melvin moves in with Aunt Candy and Jack and their four adopted children. Melvin hopes that Jack will help him get into the business scene.
The family business.
The family business.
Join the family business. Learn the family name. Make yourself a monster. Make the world insane.
Don't know what that is.
Yes, Frankenstein.
Oh. So soon after, Melvin moves into Candy and Melvin So soon after, Melvin and Candy find themselves experiencing some sexual tension.
Ooh, auntie and nephew. That's bad.
Blood auntie, by the way.
Ooh.
They're just trying to keep their royal bloodline going.
Stop it. Ew, that tree needs a fork.
Melvin, 21 years younger than his aunt. Remember that.
21 years younger.
Than his aunt.
So is he even legal age?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, he was 24 at the time. I remember that.
So Candy's like 50.
Something like that. Yeah, they're older. I'll have to... like I said, I'm going to put some pictures on Instagram. So, people would speculate that Melvin was getting a leg up with his auntie.
Oh, he was getting something's legs up.
Or into her pocket.
Oh, he was getting into her flesh mitts.
Oh, stop it. Some say Candy was feeling that she had some kind of power over her nephew. And their tension actually turned into an affair. Yeah, an affair that lasted for years. It was later stated by Candy that the reason she was having an affair. Do we even have to have this?
Yeah, because when you put it down here, you can't hear anything.
Yes, you can. Shelby's holding a mic that's not even plugged into the computer, guys. It has been a night. Anyway.
I'm sober right now. I still don't understand what's going on.
Oh, it was later stated by Candy that the reason she was having an affair with her blood relative was that she discovered that her husband was actually gay.
Wow, and so she thought the only way to cope with this is to sleep with her nephew.
Well, listen, she stated that Jack was suddenly struck with some kind of illness that left him homosexual. Remember, this is the 50s.
But still, her reasoning is to go sleep with her nephew?
Distraught and upset, she needed...
Go sleep with her nephew?
She needed someone to talk to, Shelby. Dag. Gone.
There's like 1,000 men at this point.
There's more than 1,000 men.
On the earth.
Anywho... So she turned to her nephew, which became a
sexual
relationship. When Jack was in his 60s, he started to stay in Florida in their apartment for long periods of time.
Where you going?
Now, it is uncertain whether or not it was for experimental sexuality purposes, or if he was just tired of, you know, his wife and was like, let me go stay away from you for a while. While he was away, it was easier for Melvin and Candy to be more public with their forbidden love.
Yeah, it was.
At home. They didn't have to hide it as much. Now, Melvin Now, Melvin was working for Jack at the time. He was actually given one of his trailer. So Jack had these trailer where you sell trailers. Sorry. I talked all around that sentence. Anyway, he gave him a business and he was a trailer salesman.
Like horse trailers or like house
trailers? House trailers.
You know, I started watching Trailer Park Boys.
That's Bubbles is my favorite.
It's pretty good.
And Candy was actually in charge of the finances for Melvin's job. Jack.
Be nimble, Jack be quick.
Jack be quick, Jack jump over the candlestick. Boom! But Melvin and Candy, gosh, I don't even know what to say. I'm so jumbled up.
It's been a night.
It has. But Melvin and Candy began getting sloppy. Sloppy
with an affair.
Sloppy Joes.
Ew! Sloppy Will you make that Jacks. For dinner on Wednesday?
Yep, I always do. In the way they hid their relationship from Jack. Jack was very much a smart person. He knew there was something going on, but he didn't think that it was a sexual relationship with his nephew.
Sorry, I got distracted.
It's okay, because I did too.
I thought it was going to be a dude. And it wasn't.
Oh, is that a McDonald's?
No, I don't know what it was.
Okay. Anyway, a year after Jack let Melvin move into their home, a co-worker of Jack and Melvin's told Jack that what he had seen between the two, between Candy and Melvin. The co-worker said that Melvin told him he was having an affair with his auntie for money.
His auntie.
With his auntie. So Jack finds...
His mic is doing nothing.
I told you. So Jack decides to do some investigating himself and finds Candy's diary.
Hey. What do you call an alligator in a vest?
What do you call an alligator in a vest?
An investigator.
Stop it. I already asked you that. I was going to ask you if you knew what a kidnapper's favorite shoe was. White Vans.
Oh, that's right. You did tell me that.
Okay.
Wow. We'll stick to our day job.
The coworker said that Melvin... Oh, I already said that. So he goes and finds Candy's diary. She wrote about her lover's triangle and this wild, crazy sex she was having with her nephew.
Wild, crazy
her
sex.
Her passionate sex.
So she was sleeping with a 60-year-old man and a 20-year-old man.
Pretty much. So Jack fired Melvin and had officials...
What an interesting situation.
And get the plot thickens.
This sounds oddly familiar.
Right. So Jack fired and had officials... What? So Jack fired... How many times am I going to say that? Melvin and had officials remove him from his mansion. Melvin stated that he would leave, but when he returns, he would be the owner of the mansion.
Oh, snap! The plot thickens!
And just keeps getting thicker.
Ooh! Like Endgame when Thor thickened, because we all know women went for the plot, and that was Thor. And he thickened.
Thor was the plot.
And he thickened. And he was good looking too.
This bothered Jack and put fear into him. In Jack's personal memo/diary, he stated that if Melvin and Candace don't kill him first, I'll have to kill them myself.
Ooh.
Jack and Candy's marriage was rocky, and they separated, but they didn't get a divorce.
Oh.
He still gave Candy $5,000.
Like I've lived it before or something.
He still gave Candy $5,000 in allowance a week, which is the equivalent.
What?
Yeah, which is...
I wouldn't even give her a handshake or a high five.
Girl, it's $45,000 in today's currency.
I can't even make that in 2 years.
I don't... Right. Me. That's like me at 2 years and three.
Hey, guess what? We made $4 with our podcast.
Pizza time.
Pizza!
The reason they didn't divorce is Jack feared that Candy would out him in public as being gay.
But he could be like, go, you're sleeping with your nephew, you dirty little...
And Candy didn't say it, didn't want a divorce because she didn't...
She wanted that money.
Want to be out of it as well.
Gold digger.
Probably. I mean, let's be honest here. So, since they were in the spotlight a lot, they just feared that this would ruin their lives. If Jack filed for divorce, he'd have to share his wealth and whatever else Candy may have wanted at the time. And Candy, if she filed for divorce, she only got $200,000. The only way either of them would get the full $30 million was if one of them died.
Till death do us part.
Exactly. And now the plot thickens.
Like soup.
What did we say earlier? Soup does not thicken.
I think gravy.
Potato soup.
Gravy. Gravy thickens, right?
Yeah.
Gravy. Gravy. Stick its head in baby. No, that's not right. Baby. Stick its head in baby.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't know any of that. I know the... Everybody's doing it.
Picking their nose and chewing it.
Thinking it's candy, but it's not. It's a great big booger all covered in snot.
Something like that. God, we need to get out more.
Yeah. So June 29th, 1964, Candace and the four children go to Florida. They stayed for a bit, but then Candy started to complain of a migraine, which Candy got quite often. It was medically known. So she takes the children and herself to the hospital to get checked a relief out for the headache. Right. Soon, Jack finds
or to have an alibi.
Soon, Jack finds himself in an intruder situation.
Intruder alert!
There was a struggle. Intruder alert! And Jack was brutally stabbed. He was stabbed.
Jesus.
He was stabbed in the chest and in the stomach several times, around 40 times.
Well, shit fire and milk a cow. What the hell?
Milk a cow?
And shit fire.
Your mom, I'm pretty sure it was your mom that used to say what the fuck does
she used to say shit on a shingle.
Yeah, but shit fire, save matches, fuck a duck and see what hatches.
Oh, God. Yeah. My mother.
So at 4:30 a.m., Candy and her children come back to the apartment. 4:30 a.m., what you doing out, girl?
She had a migraine. She was at the hospital.
4:30? Girl.
Hospital's anyway, open 24/7.
This is true, but you gotta have all four kids in that ER with you? Mm-mm.
She needed an alibi and some witnesses.
They find Jack dead. The police were called. Now, with a death like this, they could tell that this was personal and very passionate because of all the times the body was stabbed. Now, it was also noticed that there was a car stolen. The car that was stolen was Candy's car that she normally drove around. It was also reported that Melvin was seen in Florida the same time as the murder.
Of course he was.
The neighbors who were questioned stated that they heard screaming and thuds coming from Melvin's apartment.
Melvin's apartment or Jack's apartment?
Jack's apartment. They also reported that they saw a dark-haired man leaving. Candy told police that her husband was gay and would have random men come in and out of the home. So she led the police to believe that it was a lover's quarrel.
Quail.
Quarrel.
Quail.
Yep, that word.
Yeah.
So by some investigating, I don't know how this happened, but so anyway, the investigators got a hold of Jack's journal, which had that memo in it about them killing. Yeah.
Oh, kill them before they kill him.
Pretty much.
Looks so like they had the same plan.
So they took a deeper dive looking into Melvin and Candy.
I just see them with their scuba equipment on.
Fingerprints were taken from the crime scene. They were bloody fingerprints.
Bloody fingerprints.
They entered them into the system, and guess who was a match?
Melvin!
Yes.
The Martian.
Carmen Sandiego.
Carmen Sandiego?
Do you know who that is? Where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
Yep. So they find the stolen car in the airport parking lot. They search the car and find more bloody fingerprints. The fingerprints also matched Melvin's. So they locate Melvin and arrest him.
Oh, snap.
But get this.
I can't get any more.
Candy hires an attorney to represent Melvin.
She's got to save her nephew / lover / future baby daddy.
Okay. That went all the way there. The police also suspect that Candy had something to do with the murder, so they book her on assumption of assistance with this murder, right?
Right.
So they're both in custody. Candy decides that she's not going to jail. I'm too pretty for jail. I can't go to jail.
Candy only goes to Candyland.
So she hires her a bunch of attorneys and is like, get me out of this. So her and Melvin set free, or set outside of jail free on bond for 1 year.
They set outside of jail
for free. So, prosecutors? Yes, the prosecutors present the motive that Jack's estate would have been worth $22 million, which in today's currency is $177 million.
I need me a Jack.
They also brought in photos of the pair being a couple out and about because, you know, they just took pictures wherever because they were auntie and nephew and they could do that.
Yeah.
They painted the picture of them being lovers and that was their motive.
Ew.
We're lovers. We're going to kill the husband. Take the money. They also presented evidence that Melvin was in the area from Texas to Florida. It's also said that Melvin asked a bartender to give him an empty Coke bottle, which was glass at the time. And this was suspected to be the murder weapon. They also proved that Candy was not, in fact, at the ER, and she just drove around for a couple of hours.
Jeez.
They also had witnesses that claimed Candy wanted to hire somebody to help kill her husband. Yes. The defense stated...
What is it with people wanting to hire a hitman?
I don't know.
Why can't you hire a hit woman?
That's a crime in its own. I'm sure there are hit women. The defense argued that the fingerprints could have been there for quite some time, and DNA testing wasn't up to par like it is now, so they couldn't honestly tell whose blood the fingerprint was in. They just knew it was Melvin's fingerprint.
Ooh, Melvin, it ain't so looking good for you,
honey. It could have just been his blood, you know, but anyway. So Candy painted a picture when she was on trial or when she was being questioned. Candy painted the picture of a lover coming in, killing Jack, and this is, you know, she's trying to convince the jury that nobody had anything to do with it except for the fact that he was homosexual. That was it. The jury took 16 hours to return a verdict. 16 hours on a case that evidence was just basically handed to them. I just want to restate that because that's ridiculous.
Jeez.
The jury claimed there was insufficient evidence to convict Candy or Melvin. They ruled not guilty for the pair.
Shut the front door running.
Yes. Shut that fucking door.
Can't let the mosquitoes in.
Media had a strong presence in this case. They actually, side note, they said that this was so covered by so much media coverage on this case that they actually had to close the courtroom so that nobody could come in because it was just so stressful on the world at the time. Not the world, but you know, the United States at the time.
The world! Like,
they stopped coverage on this case because it was so high profile.
Jesus.
It was said that Candy threw a party after she won.